This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
And we're on the air, and guess what?
It's the Vince and Joe Show.
Well, and with Alan Love.
With special guest star. Alan Love, retired attorney from the great state of Wisconsin. Not only an attorney, but a prosecuting attorney. I mean, he was hated by everybody up there.
Except for the state.
He's trying to think of an answer to come back to this. Come on, Alan.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, this is living proof that not all attorneys are intellectual. Not all of them are glib, or they can handle an absolute negative compliment.
I can handle them well, Joe. Why do you think I'm so calm when I'm on your show?
Vince and I do remember a couple weeks ago you weren't too calm when you were teaching breaststroke in a synagogue.
Yeah, but he was smiling. It was the first time I'd seen Alan actually smile.
Not only,
I giggled. He
not
was
only
giggling
smiled,
a little bit
he
too.
Actually laughed.
Yes.
1-888-221-8990. Letitia, I hope you're listening. I saw her this morning. She's a faithful listener. And she may not be able to because she got a new job and she may not be able to do it.
Oh.
But either way, I said, you know, I hope we don't offend you with our humor. She goes, Joe, I love your humor. Well, which leads me into why I had to pick on Alan right away, because I don't want to disappoint a listener by not being humorous. Alan, you buy that?
Don't buy it, Alan.
I'll buy anything you have to offer, Joe.
He's hiding.
Because as the audience knows, you are supremely knowledgeable in your field. You're intelligent, but you do have a warped sense of humor.
Well, thank you. I thought he was going to go all compliments, but the warped sense of humor was.
And besides that, all the things above are disputable. You realize that?
Absolutely. What do you think attorneys do? We love disputes.
1-888-221-8990. All right, troops, this is an important thing. You're supposed to keep that phone number written down next to your phone. You're supposed to have
and actually
it.
Call.
And then, after you do that, you're supposed to call in because we have Vince Rizzino, CPA, not only a CPA, but a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. And Vince was also, because he's an old guy, was a college professor.
But not at Columbia.
But not at Columbia. Up in New York a few years ago. And the tax code, I'm telling you what, this is a big, big year. Big year. Major changes in the tax code.
So, just studied 10 hours on the new code, Joe.
I'm telling you. And
there he is.
And 10 hours is probably just the beginning of what you're going to have. That is the beginning.
I mean, I just scratched the surface.
Yeah.
It was only to get me familiar so that I could properly educate my clients.
But then we also have a team member who just snuck in a little bit late, but we forgive him.
I had a long way to go, Joe.
Yeah, he's got a whole 3 miles to go. Mm-hmm. That's if you take the back road.
The traffic was horrible.
Oh, boy. He wound up walking. He could have walked here just as quick.
I could have walked here faster.
Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. In fact, Mike called in on our morning show, and it's an interesting thing when we. And by the way, I picked on Alan Love, but Alan is a magnificent, special person. He's our quote messy Jew.
Yes.
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 Which is my interpretation of a messianic Jew, which means Alan is a card carrying Hebrew, but he had converted to Christianity some years ago, and they call that a messy Jew. No, they call it a messianic.
Yes, they do. And Mike, welcome.
Are you trying to change the subject?
Yeah,
I've heard you've been taking a lot of the abuse. I was listening in the car on the way here.
I have a question for you right off the bat.
Yes, sir.
Any concerned about the fact that pending home sales are now down 7 months in a row?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a combination of issues. One, in our area anyway, I can't speak for the rest of the nation, but in our area we have an inventory problem. They haven't really built many new homes, you know, since the recession. They're just starting to construct homes. So it's really resulting
in
a
pent-up
demand.
But isn't what he just said, they're down existing home sales? Right?
Correct.
Pending. Pending home sales.
Yeah, pending home sales are down.
That is new construction.
Mike, would you explain what a pending home sale is? Maybe some people don't know.
Well, a pending home sale would be, I would consider that a house that's existing, that's under contract. Mm-hmm. So if the pending sales are down, that means that there's going to eventually be less sales, less closed sales. And that's a problem, and I think we can attribute this towards a lack of inventory, and also the fact that the interest rates are going up. So interest rates are starting to take their toll on the market a little bit. We had a very hot real estate market for several years in a row. I think there is going to be a little bit of a breather occasionally, and I think we're heading into a little bit of a plateau.
Well, the key thing is in Florida, there's not really been much of a lag, but there has been a lag in resales or existing home sales because there's just only so many. But new construction, I mean, listen, we've all lived in Florida for a good long time, and there was a whole period of time you didn't see one house coming out of the ground no matter where.
Yeah, between 2009 and say 2015, there hasn't been any new construction speak
today
at all.
There's quite a bit of new construction going. In fact,
yes,
most of the contractors that I know personally are having a problem finding workers, finding people
right
to work.
Yep. Tradespeople. Yep.
So,
the houses that are coming on the market, the new construction, the new houses that are completed, they tend to be the higher priced houses. Rarely do you see new construction in what we consider an affordable housing range and below $250,000.
Well, Martin County has always been historically a hair more expensive. And then Palm Beach County, if we go into Jupiter to Cuesta, is very expensive.
Yes.
Now, St. Lucie County is a little bit less. Indian River County is a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Brevard County is a little bit less. There's different areas, but still the prices are all in the 200s. It's hard to find anything under 200.
Right, and we've experienced 10 to 15% housing increases year after year, probably for the last 4 years.
Yeah,
And at some point, it becomes unaffordable for people to buy. So that, with the combination of the higher interest rates, a lack of inventory pushing up the value of the houses, I think we're in for a little bit of a plateau. I don't see the markets, declining, but I do think that they are going to slow down the market a little bit.
Interesting thing was, and we were talking this morning and you weren't here, and Bulldog called in.
Oh, okay, Bulldog.
And we're talking about mortgage insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't have a clue what mortgage insurance was.
Well, he has a VA loan.
And he says, is there mortgage insurance on a VA loan? And I says, well, it's not the same as VA, as FHA or Freddie Mac, but I think there is, but Mike's not here. So I want you to explain what mortgage insurance is and how it affects, let's say, the USDA, the VA, and then regular Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, conventional mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
Explain how that works.
Well, every type of mortgage has some kind of insurance program or a funding fee that keeps the program operating. For VA, the veteran will pay a funding fee. And the amount of that fee will depend on if you've used your benefits or not. If you're a disabled vet, 10% or greater, then you could be exempt from the funding fee. Now, VA is great because it's a one-time fee that's paid up front, and they actually let you finance it into the loan. So you can be, you could do 100% financing, and then you can finance in their funding fee. So you could be, say, 103% financing, which is good and bad.
Well, if you buy a house for $200,000, 3% would be $6,000. That's a one-time fee for the mortgage.
One-time fee. And no. The benefit of the VA loan is that you don't have the monthly mortgage insurance. Now, mortgage insurance, if you equate that to FHA loans, FHA charges you an upfront mortgage insurance fee that, again, they let you finance into the loan, but they also charge you a monthly fee that never goes away. It's on that loan for the term of the loan. You cannot get rid of it.
Okay. What does that insurance do? Who does it protect?
It does not benefit the consumer one little bit. The only benefit it does is it allows you to put a smaller down payment down.
So what does the insurance do?
That insurance covers the lender in case of any loss. So if the loan goes into default, that insurance will kick in and it will pay the lender some amount of fee. Now, here's the funny part. Here's an insurance that you're paying and you get absolutely no benefit from. But if there is a loss, that mortgage insurance company can come back after you for repayment of that loan, that loss.
But let's just take a Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae mortgage, and you put 3.5% down.
Well, the Fannie Mae typically requires 5%
down. Let's use 5% down. Okay. I got a $200,000 loan. I put 5% down,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And that is a 95% loan.
Correct.
So now the mortgage insurance, doesn't it protect the lender down to 80%?
No, normally at 95%, we require 30% covered. So the insurance company would pay the lender the top 30% of the loan.
So basically, the 5% is down, then the lender is covered for the next 25% in case of default.
Correct.
Okay, good. Let's take a phone call.
Okay.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi.
Hi. Very good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. I have a question for one of you. I hear that you are genius there.
Wait a minute. Well, the only genius we have here is Pastor Dave, and he's hiding behind.
He's at the production.
He's the producer.
But he listens to what I have to say, so he might give him an
answer. You better listen, Dave, she's saying. Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
Both ears are on.
I am here in the acreage, and this is with Mom in the acreage. Which is a very nice growing. I want to build my house there. It's very expensive right now. So what I'm planning to do is to build a shelf. So like to finish it up little by little as I can. So I don't get too tight and I don't spend too much in the house.
Are you going to pay cash for this?
To build a shelf, I don't think I can afford to pay cash. I have a little cash, but I wanted to take a loan.
Do you own the lot, free and clear?
Yes, I own the lot, and I own my condominium, too, which is also very good, and I can get money out of it, too.
Okay. Well, typically in a construction loan, they give you a very limited period of time to construct the house. Like, for example, the construction loan for, say, a Fannie Mae, a conventional construction loan, you can use the equity in the lot as your down payment or, you know, your equity position in the whole project. But uh-huh. The problem is that we're only going to give you a limited time period to complete the house, and that means 100% complete.
How long is that normally?
Normally, we'll give you 12 months.
Okay, so you can build that shell, but you better hustle.
And also, we would require
get the rest of it done in a year.
Yeah, and a typical construction loan, you would have to.
From the time that I take the loan.
I'm sorry.
From the time that I take the loan out, that time is going to start counting for me to finish the whole house.
Yeah, correct. And also, some other bad news is that we will not do owner-builder. You're looking at an owner-builder situation where you own the property, you're building the property, or you're managing the construction of it. We don't allow that on our construction loan programs. We would require a contractor to be building that.
So that's all lenders, all lenders.
No, there's programs out there, but you're not going to get a like a, what we call a conforming or conventional construction loan. It would have to be more or less a hard equity type of loan. We do those, but they're not very appealing terms.
Yeah, I spoke to one of you. I don't remember exactly the name unless you mention it before, and he referred me to somebody that built his house.
Yes, yes, that was me. We talked.
You talked to Mike Palace, right? That's right. Mike you're talking to.
Yes, exactly him, yes. And then he referred me to somebody that built his house, and that's the person I'm trying to use to build my shell.
Oh, okay, and you're probably talking about Eric. I don't want to mention
Eric.
Any.
Eric,
yes.
Eric,
what a memory, Mike. You know, he just looks old, but he's not as old as he looks.
Well, he constructed my house, and I tell you, I couldn't be more pleased with their construction.
Very good. So what happens, but she has to hire a contractor.
Yes.
And he has to get
her. That would be Eric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, it's the key thing is this. You've talked to Mike, and you can talk to Mike again off the radio. But the bottom line is, if you don't go through, let's say, a normal conventional loan, then you're going to have to go to somebody that is non-conforming, and they're going to charge you a higher interest rate and all kinds of different deals.
Right? Yeah. And you know what? And I know you're trying to save money by doing some of the work yourself, but the cost, you have to weigh all the options. The cost of getting that type of construction loan may offset what you're trying to save in the long run. So we can talk about that. So what I would suggest we do is we talk someday this week and hammer out some different options.
You left your name and number with Pastor Tom.
I did.
Mike can give you a call back tomorrow, and you guys can talk and see if he can counsel you some more and make this thing happen.
Thank you so much. That would be awesome.
All right. You have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for calling.
You do the same. Thank you for the help.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So what happened, Mike? My deodorant get bad? You're moving across the table?
No, I moved to the other side of the room because that air conditioning vent is blowing right on me and I was cold.
You look so dainty, you know. It's...
I'm an hour Floridian.
You're right. Mike's from Philadelphia originally.
But I've been here for quite some time.
Yeah, but
I moved away from Philadelphia because I didn't want to be cold, and I don't want to be cold sitting next to you.
But you still follow the Eagles. You don't follow the Dolphins.
And we have a game tomorrow night.
Are you going to watch it?
Oh, absolutely.
Even after Kaepernick?
Everyone's entitled to their point of view.
Okay.
I don't want to go into that situation.
I know.
I hate that argument.
I just going to say yes or no.
I've been an Eagles fan for 55 years.
Yeah.
I finally saw them win a Super Bowl, and I'm going to watch them this year.
I may have to loan you my Eagles shirt.
I have plenty.
Okay.
And I should have wore all of them in this room because it's cold.
1-888-221-8990. And that was a really good call.
Yes.
We've never had that question come up before. But let's just say I want to go build my own house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to find a conventional conforming loan. I'm going to have to go to a lender and say, hey, this is what I want to do, and I want to build it myself.
Well, first of all, construction lending is a real specialty type of lending. It's not, you know, I would not suggest you go to a bank teller and make your mortgage application with that because it's a very complicated scenario, especially what she's trying to do. She's trying to do, have a contractor build the shell, which is just the cinder block,
right.
and maybe
the outside,
the,
right.
Yeah, and possibly, you know, everyone's definition of that is a little bit
dry
different.
Dry it in, maybe.
Right. But she wants to do a lot of the interior work herself.
Right.
That's very difficult because as a lender, we have to make sure that, okay, if something happens to her in the middle of the project, we're going to have to step in and finish the project.
Right.
So without a contractor, then we have to now hire a contractor. Now, a contractor is most contractors are very leery about starting a project like that in the middle.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Right?
First of all, they don't know who was paid, who wasn't paid, any of the contractors. Right. So any of the subcontractors may have liens against that property.
Yep. Yep.
That also, that contractor doesn't know if that work was built up to code or not.
Correct.
So it's very difficult to take over a project right in the middle of it. So,
and have you ever seen sabotage on a project?
Well, a lot of times in the foreclosures, yeah. So it's not... Can it be done? Yes. We do have specialty lenders that do that, and it's a higher risk loan,
sure.
and they charge for it.
They charge for it. Yeah.
1-888-221-8990.
So Mike Paulus technically is the newest member of the team, but it's been how many years now, Mike?
140?
Seems like it, at least that. But what happened is it started off with Joe Martek, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney. Concept when we started doing these shows back in 04 was to answer questions for people that each one of us knew but the other ones didn't know, and that worked extremely well. But over a period of time we had questions still that came in that we didn't know the answers to. So Vince Rosino, CPA, became a part of the group. Taxes, a monster subject. Starting a business, closing a business, monster subjects. I had a young man that came in to see me this week was leaving his company after 20-some years, and he's starting a plumbing business, and he and his sister are going to do it, and he's got a very good plan. But I said, have you figured out how to structure it, whether it's an LLC, corporation? So the answer was a little vague, because I don't think they quite hit that, and this can be a big problem. Am I right, Vince?
Absolutely, Joe. If you make a mistake with that, sometimes they're correctable easily. Like if you set up a partnership and then you wanted it to be an S corp, you can elect out of it. But the reverse is true also. You may have wanted to make it an S corp, but you didn't, so you missed the window. So what happens is any losses get locked up inside the C corporation. Although with the new tax law, you need to look at it even more carefully now, because the rates are lower for corporations as a whole. C corporations, which are regular corporations, you know, the highest tax rate is 21%.
What happens is it's difficult.
It is, and there's double taxation in this case. And what do I mean by that? If you don't take all the money out of your corporation, you're a regular company,
right?
You pay the tax on it, goes into your pot of accumulated earnings.
Right.
Well, the only way to get those accumulated earnings out is A, lose money in the future,
right.
Nobody wants to do, or dividend it out.
Right.
And dividends are not deductible, and their income to the recipient. So you get double taxed on the money.
So the whole concept is
you got to be careful.
Setting up the structure ahead of time, once you know your options, you can make an intelligent decision. And I guarantee you there's four people sitting here that don't know the answer. Of the five of us, you're the only one that knows the answer to that, because the new tax law, things are different.
They're slightly different, and not slightly. In some cases, majority difference. But they changed the NOL rules.
What's that?
The net NOLs or net operating losses.
Okay.
So if your company loses money.
See, we have these little things that we know internally that I didn't know. NOL. Uh-huh. I thought that was a football player up in Tallahassee. Noel.
Yes. That's Noel. Yeah, no, these are NOLs, which, sorry for the parlance, that's an accounting thing. A tax thing. Yeah, it's a net operating loss. That means is that the company loses money. Well, you know, you're limited now as to how much you can even take on these net operating losses. You can't take 100% anymore. You can only take 80% in the current year. The rest of it goes forward. It's limited on what you can carry back. Actually, you don't carry any back.
Rules.
So they've changed the playing field for corporations. So you got to take these things into consideration when you consider what you want. Now, the other thing is you may look at, are you going to bring partners in? How are you going to share profits? Partnerships are more flexible than regular corporations.
Well, this young man that came in, it's he and his sister. And I said, well, that's kind of good, because you have this filial, you have this easy way. But you know what? Brothers and sisters don't always get along. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes. Well, I don't have any sisters, so I wouldn't know.
How about
personally.
Brothers?
I have
don't
brothers.
Always get along. What I'm trying to say is, it's never simple. The best thing that can happen is when I counsel, and I'm going to send him to you, Vince, and I said, hey, the king is this. You may love each other and trust each other totally, but put something in writing that is there to protect you in case you die, there to protect your family in case you die, there to protect your partner in case you die, or one or the other, or who knows, if you get disabled. There's so many variables that can get in the way of a successful partner or any corporation.
I had a client come in last week. They're contemplating a divorce and really wanted to do it right and wanted to plan it. Well, there's a lot of issues there. What happens to the house? How do they pay for it? They're going to be partners in the business. What happens if one dies?
Yeah.
What happens if the net partner wants to bring a new partner in?
Yeah.
Who's going to give permission for these things? These all get spelled out in an operating agreement or in a shareholder agreement if it's a corporation.
You're bringing up a subject that I had a phone call. In fact, there's a regular listener to the show, and I have talked to him a few times, and you might remember him, but his mother died and leaves a house to he and his brother. Okay, and he doesn't know what the story is, but his brother's living in the house. Well, by and by, his brother died. And as far as he knows, it might be the brother's house. And I said, well, you got to find the deed. Because on the deed, if it says JTWROS, that means it's your house. If it doesn't say that, half of the house is his, to his estate, and half of the house to you is your estate. Well, you're not dead, so you only own a half a house. His estate might have children, wife, who knows what, that would have an interest in that half. But if it does say JTWROS or written out, joint tenants with rights of survivorship.
I remember that caller. No, he didn't have a copy of that deed, and that's all public record. So that's very easy to get.
And he did get it, and he called me back, and it did have JTWROS.
Well, that's good for him.
And I said, good for you. I said, this doesn't make the emotional part easier because you're going to now have to tell the ones that want your brother's interest, who knows who they might be, that they do not have an interest. So now you've got an emotional problem or a moral problem rather than a physical problem.
But that if it wasn't the case, they might be going to Mike looking for a loan to buy out the other half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and and that happens regularly.
All the time.
Yeah, but now, literally, and he may give the loan regardless anyway because it might be a moral thing where he feels guilty or wants to help some of the relatives on that side that thought they were going to get something. But Mom, when she did it, they actually had three on the deed. Mom, son, and son. JTWROS. Mm-hmm. Well, last one to live owns that house.
Yeah, and you have to wonder if that's what her original intentions were.
Well, here comes the problem. I don't know what an attorney would do and say, but the reality is this. I doubt very much an individual person without much experience would know to put that on a deed, JTWROS. Right. So normally an attorney or some advisor would have said, okay, fine, here's your goal. All three of you own it now. One of you dies. The two of you own it. Two die. The last one alive owns the house. Mm-hmm. And you know, they would hopefully
unless they sell it in the meantime.
Unless they sell it in the meantime, right. 1-888-221-8990. You know, life, as we all know, the longer we live, gets more and more complicated. More and more things get in the way of what looks simple.
Mm-hmm. And the more money you have, it gets.
And that what would have fixed that whole situation is a will, simple will.
Well, answer is yes, but then the wills can still be contested. The key is that if it's on the DJTWROS, that eliminates all of the debate.
Right, but I would think that a will would clarify what the intentions of the original owner
could. But have you ever seen a will contested?
Yes.
Okay. All the time. Well, I'm telling you what. So when I look at it, it's like Vince and I buy a house. It's in Joe Martek's name and Vince Rosino's name. I die. If it doesn't say JTWROS on that thing and I have a will, it might say my half goes to whoever. Now they've got to deal with Vince. Hmm. And then they're going to have to finance him out, sell the house, do whatever, and then the will settle my side. If it said JTWROS, I die, it's Vince's. Vince dies, it's mine.
There's another way around that. You could set up a trust.
Set up a
you
trust.
Could put the house same in concept. The trust and stipulate in the trust how it's to be handled.
Same it's all exact, it's all same exact concept. Yep. So there's many ways to do this thing. What you have to know is what the goal is, what they're trying to accomplish, and then here we go. And people hate using attorneys, but I will tell you, some things I would just I just shake and get shivers if you don't use an attorney and try to do this yourself, because then we see these families fall apart when all of a sudden this occurs and they didn't do it correctly.
Well, no, that's usually what happens.
Yeah.
When it comes to the money.
Let's do another phone call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi. I have a question on a subject that you're discussing right now.
Sure.
So if Mom has her name, my name, and my sister's name on the deed of the house, and the JTW
ROS.
ROS. Is that attached to one person's name, or is that just the sequence of who owns the house in the event of somebody passing away?
Well, there's no real sequence except whoever's gone no longer owns the house.
No, yep, last person standing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So their children then don't own the house necessarily. If there was a JTWR,
it doesn't
go to the child.
If there's three people listed,
mm-hmm.
we are all partners now equally. One of us dies, there are two partners. One more dies, there's one that owns the house. It's just that simple.
Okay.
But I think...
So what's the benefit of having that on the deed, having the JT?
Well, boy, that's I love that one. So let's say it was not there, okay? And mom dies. Mom has an estate. She owns one-third of that house. If mom did not have a will, one-third of that house would be subject to a probate period, and it could take 6 months to a year, because now that money, that house might need to be sold by the other two people. You have a contest, is what I'm trying to say, if it's not deeded properly. If, like Vince was saying earlier, if the house was put in a trust, and it said in the trust is owned by mom's trust, let's just use that as a name, and then it says in that trust, if mom dies, the house goes to the two partners. And if one dies, it may go a portion to the grandchildren or great-grandchildren. You can do anything you want. But if it's not defined, the court system gets involved. So the JTWROS simply says we're all owned as partners. I die. Vince is the next owner. Vince dies. Mike is the next owner. And it's just real simple.
But the best way to handle that is if somebody were to pass on, if mom were to pass on, then the two surviving folks would have to, should really talk about what their intentions are for the future.
Yeah.
They may want to sell that. They may want to re-deed that.
You may want to re-deed. But bottom line is, if you and your sister, mom dies, you and your sister, let's just say that, own it. Okay, we're 50-50 partners. But it does say joint tenants with rights of survivorship. So you don't need to change anything. However, what if the two of you say, hey, wait a minute, I would like, if you agree, for my share to go to my children on my death, because I'm now 70 years old, I'm not 30 anymore.
Exactly.
And if the sister says, I agree with you, let's change it. And you guys can go change the deed.
Okay. But even then, doing a trust would probably be a better idea to have it written down.
Here comes a $64,000 question. Not always, but the bottom line is, if you speak to, quote, a competent attorney that has integrity, he will advise you on the least expensive way to go. And one of our things that I wish Greg Fasula was here, because he happens to have one of the better hearts of people, and that's the reason he's part of our group, is to advise people on which is the most cost-efficient way to handle these things and the most proper way to achieve your goal. So a trust can do it, but there might be other ways.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you so much. You guys have been very helpful.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling, Cola.
Yeah, you know, and Greg, if he was sitting here, he hates when I say, what about a trust? And he says, well, maybe. You know, because you don't always need a trust.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, but it's just an alternative, only in many alternatives, if it's complicated.
If
it's complicated. But this is two people. Because I was going to say, if the person who's living in the house passes, the other two who are the joint owners may decide they don't want the house anymore.
Sell it.
Then they would choose to sell it. And there'd be no need for a trust at that point. Or like you said, you could re-deed it and maybe we'll put it somewhere where the beneficiaries are your children and grandchildren.
The key thing is you need to talk to somebody that understands how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't leave it. I was going to say this. In the state of Florida, if you have a house deeded and it says husband and wife on there and you're married, I die, it goes to my wife. My wife dies, it goes to me.
That's called tenants by the entirety.
But if it does not say husband and wife, I die, my half goes to my estate. My wife is eligible for a dower right, which is no longer the term. They use a different term. And it's roughly 30% of the value. And then the rest of it would go to blood children. Now, let me tell you, you get all of a sudden a multiple marriage where there's stepchildren. Boy, what a mess that can become if it's not deeded properly. And Mike, how many times, I don't know how well you counsel people on this, but I will tell you, it always amazes me when things aren't deeded properly.
Yeah, and you see it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's a sad thing because it can cause major problems. I had a client down in Palm Beach County. Her husband and her, wonderful people, good, good people. He was actually a lay minister working and working a job, just doing everything. But he bought multiple pieces of property over the years only in his name. And they never thought about it. And now how he did this without anybody advising him. So he dies. Well, guess what? It was a second marriage. Stepchildren. She spent 2 years liquidating these properties. The kids could care less. Just send me a check. They just had to sign the paperwork when she sold the property to get their money. Mm-hmm. She had to do all the work. And it was very sad because nobody advised either one of them.
And it's very surprising how often that happens.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
Greg, and if Greg was here right now, he would say, because it's something we have talked about repeatedly. I had an actual client, husband and wife, with a trust, and they were very private. Normally, when I'm a financial advisor and I have a client that has these documents, I said, let me look at them, make sure that they're in your best interest, because they aren't always. Well, these people said, nope, we know what we're doing. Don't worry about it. Well, bigger and all get out. He dies. Wife says, calls me up and said he died. And she said, the house was not in the trust. The attorney said, when one of you dies, come on down and I'll put the house in the trust. So Dan was here and Greg was here. Dan's the independent insurance agent, saying, why would that happen? Of course, we knew it was money because the attorney gets to make an extra buck. Anyway, I'll finish the story if I can remember it when we come out. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. This is Scott.
Hey, Scott. How you doing, my man?
I'm good, sir. Listen, I wanted to talk to you about a deed of property.
Okay.
Me and my wife are married. We've been together for 18 years. We've been married. We're coming on our six years this December. We wanted to put me on the mortgage. We went to the bank, talked to them. They told us we got to refinance. It was stupid what they were telling us. We had to do with the $500 or $700 closing cost, all kinds of stuff. Is that all true?
Well, most lenders will let you add somebody to the deed. Like, for example, I owned my house before I got married. So after I got married, I just simply added. Whenever you're changing a deed, whenever, and there's a mortgage involved, always, always, always call the mortgage company and get this blessing on this. Because if you change the deed without their authorization, there's a due on sale or due on transfer clause, and they can call the loan due. So never do anything without their blessing. But if you add, most lenders will let you add somebody to the deed, and normally they'll want you that person to join in on the mortgage document, not necessarily the note. The note is the promise to repay. And we close loans all the time where one of the spouses doesn't want to be on the loan, whether that's an agreement between the spouses, whether one spouse doesn't qualify for the mortgage, maybe one of the spouses had a bankruptcy or bad credit in the past. So
absolutely.
Right. So in that situation, we would let that spouse be on the deed. If they're on the deed, they have to sign the mortgage document. The mortgage document puts the house up as collateral for repayment on the note. The note is the most important document to the bank. Whoever signs that note is obligated to repay the loan.
Okay, Todd's question is this. So now he's married and he wants to put both of them on the deed, and there's a mortgage.
Correct.
What's it going to cost, Mike?
You probably would have to register a new mortgage at the courthouse. You don't have to refinance the loan. So it's really up to the lender to do that, but there it is possible for the lender just to add somebody. And I just explained to you that I had the same scenario. I got married and I wanted to add my wife onto the house, and the bank was willing to do that. So
But they charge you a fee.
They'll charge you a fee because there's documents to be recorded.
Give or take how much would you
use? Whatever it costs to record. It's usually about $250 to record a new mortgage and a new deed at the courthouse.
Okay, so $250 to $500 would not be out of the ordinary.
No.
Okay.
But not a refinance.
Okay.
You need to refinance.
Under any circumstances, you don't want to refinance. What refinance means, they get extra fees and you have closing costs, et cetera, that you don't need.
Unless there's a financial benefit for you to refinance, and you should always be open-minded to refinance.
Tell them there's 4.5 years left on a mortgage.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all.
So unless you wanted to refinance to take equity out to do improvements or debt consolidation or something like that.
No,
then that shouldn't be a problem.
Once the payment's gone, we can use that money for improvements.
Of course. Yeah. What happens is this. Talk to your lender and just say, hey, I want to be, quote, add me on to the deed and the mortgage. What are you going to cost? Just that simple. Right. And they should come up with a figure and do the paperwork, and you'll record it, and you're done. If you run into grief with that, you call us back, Todd, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you, sirs.
You know it, my man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Normal stuff, right?
Yeah, don't ever take it upon yourself to go down and change your deed if there's a mortgage involved.
You get the same thing when you try to transfer it to an LLC or something like that.
Anytime
you move it from one place to another, the lenders get up.
Well, if you got a lender, they've got first position on that property. You know, you own it, but they need to know what's going on because you've agreed to everything, and they saw in writing. So if you're going to amend that or change it, they need to change some paperwork. 1-888-221-8990. What was I talking about?
I have no idea.
My God.
Thanks a lot. Let me finish my thought now because I remember what I was talking about.
Oh, now you remember. Okay, fine. You have a thought now.
So husband and wife have a house. Husband dies. Wife calls me up, client, says, attorney says, come on down and she'll put the house in a trust. And Dan and I and Greg were all sitting when this phone call came. And Dan and I said, Greg, why do you think that happened? And Greg says, I'm not sure. Dan and I said, it's to get an extra fee. Greg, have you ever, when you did a trust, not put the house in the trust and make sure the deed was proper? Now, here, Greg is not big on categorical statements, but the answer was, no, I've never, always, you always put the house in and you make sure it's done properly. He had never not done one. He was trying to look for an excuse to cover the rear end of this person that was trying to gouge these people, but there was no way that it made sense. Mm-hmm. So I said to my client, I said, I'll tell you what. I'll take you down to the courthouse. You buy me lunch at McDonald's, and it'll cost us 10 or 20 bucks to record, you know, to put this in the trust. Hang on a second. We got to go back. Remind me if I forget.
Okay, the trust.
Caller Joe Martek, you're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I called actually some time ago on this question and sort of revisiting it. I had a lawsuit filed some early last year, an injury that took place in 2015, and the attorney had been going back and forth starting a little bit shortly after the lawsuit and trying to get the business served. And the business has since gone out of business. And he's been going back and forth and unsuccessfully getting them served. So my question to you is, as a result of that, he has withdrawn his representation of me. And pretty much I'm left with the expenses that I've incurred because of the cost of my treatment. So, one, I want to know what my options are in terms of settling those. Is it something that I can do? And secondly, I'm assuming that he does have a right to withdraw, but is there something that states that he cannot withdraw at a certain period of time, or
did you pay him a fee?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, the odds are pretty good then. Did you sign an agreement with him?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so in that agreement, it probably says he could walk out and do that, because that would normally what he would do is protect his rear end. So, next, the people that committed this injury, are they collectible? Mm-hmm. Meaning, if you sued them, do they have any money?
Well, that I don't know. I'm assuming because the information that was shared with me by the attorney is that they sold the business. So I don't know if there's any proceeds that came from that.
And there might have been. The key is this. Normally, an attorney is not going to withdraw if he knew that he could sue and there was some insurance or something collectible. The biggest single thing you've got is, if he withdrew, did he do any paperwork? Is there any documentation that he will give you that you could take to another attorney? Because, I mean, Alan, you're retired. When an attorney withdraws from this, I'm guessing, this is a guess now, that the people that committed this thing are not collectible. So otherwise, the attorney would have, if there was obviously fault, he'd have gone after him. Am I right?
Most cases, well, you're right. You know, there are exceptions. You know, without knowing more of the fact, it's hard for
it's
us
hard to say.
To say at this point.
It's not an easy one. The key thing you've got, when have you talked to any other attorney?
I have not. And then what happened is that he went to court, and a case plan hearing, case plan meeting was set up. I don't know what that entailed. But that would be my third question. Is it worthwhile? I mean, I know it's worthwhile pursuing because I sustained a legitimate injury and I have these medical expenses. In terms of being able to file or continue with the biggest
problem you've got
frame now,
is mm-hmm. that person that committed this or that company collectible? Mm-hmm. Is there a chance? If you sue the turnip, and you're not going to get anything out of the turnip, so
right. That
attorney may have found out that was a useless turnip. But did he not tell you that?
He didn't tell me pretty much what he told me was that he can't get them served. That was the whole.
He can't get them served.
Correct, but he can't. They're not getting. He hired a process server, and they have made several attempts, and they were not able to be successfully served. Because I guess he said that. There's one time that he was able to get in contact with one of the owners or something, and they told him that he's not big, or I guess he left a voicemail message and they didn't call him back, and he's saying what they're doing is he's trying to contact them to find out who the insurance company is, because obviously they're operating in a business. I mean, the only other thing I could think of is that they didn't have insurance, but I mean, I would think that they would, given the size of the business. And then
you might have got the wrong attorney.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
That's what my thought was, that there needs to be a second opinion here. And don't forget, a lot of attorneys will speak with you free of charge, your first consultation. And also, to find an attorney, contacting the Florida Bar Referral Service online at the Florida Bar Association online, they have a referral service as far as attorneys who practice in your area. I don't know where you're calling from exactly.
Where do you live?
Broward, Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. Okay. There's tons and tons and tons of accident attorneys that have commercials and billboards and everything.
And most of your personal injury attorneys, they're glad to talk to you
in a
first consultation.
In a heartbeat. And like Alan's saying, you could go straight to the Bar Association, but quite honestly, if you just drive down 95, you probably get six different phone numbers, and you can call any one of them and say, hey, here's my situation. They will definitely meet with you and not charge you anything, because all of these people work on a contingency, meaning they only get paid if they collect. But if they find out the people that you want to sue have no money, they're not going to go after them. And it may have been what happened. Because a process server couldn't serve. Well, that's okay. That's a bit of a stretch, but I'm having a problem with that. You know, if good process server will find people if they had to wake them up at 3 a.m. You know,
so. Right. And so that was one issue, and the fact that when they were able to serve. I mean, I've been told so many stories, and then he mentioned to me that the individual that was served was not the right person, and so on and so forth. But the store has a corporate office in New York. I don't know if that changes anything in terms of having a successful outcome.
Well, if I'm an attorney and they've got multiple offices and a corporation, let me tell you, I'd be a happy one to talk to you, because if they have more than one store, the odds are good that it's a decent-sized company, and they are probably insured and collectible. And the state of New York is pretty tough on making sure businesses are done properly. Am I right, Vince?
Yes.
It shouldn't be difficult to serve a corporation in New York State.
I mean, literally, they could hire a process server to go serve them up there. So it'll cost another $100 or $200 or whatever. Anyway, you need to just find another attorney. Just get on the phone and call up, make an appointment, and go visit. And give them the story, take the documents, let them do some homework, and hopefully you get a person that's competent this time.
Okay, thank you so much.
Good luck.
Good luck.
You can always find the officers, too, of a corporation right online. I mean, I know in Florida you go to sunbiz.org, and you can look at the, look who the officers are.
Let's just go back to having a competent attorney.
Yeah.
See, what happens is, because all of us are experienced in this kind of aggravation, what would we do anyway? We would still go to an attorney. We wouldn't try to take this on ourselves and try to find out stuff. Now, I mean, when I listen to all these guys that are spending thousands of dollars every week on these ads, somebody walks in the door, you're going to listen to them and do some research. That an attorney went to the efforts of trying to do a process serving and withdrew, something sounds weird there, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sounds suspicious.
I mean, we just had an attorney in Stewart disbarred this week.
Yeah, I read that.
I mean, that happens. So this person might have...
this person was helping herself to client funds.
Took some funny money that she shouldn't have taken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but guess
trust
what?
Funds.
Yeah. So what literally can happen is the other attorney, he might have had some problems that you don't know about, and they withdrew. But again, you call... I don't care who it is, there's a number of them, and take a chance. Let's take another call. Caller, it's Joe Martek, you're on the radio.
Yes, I'm calling for a bit of information. I'm calling for a friend. Her husband died, and then later the wife died, and she has three sons, and the husband left the name of the house. It's all paid for in his wife's name, and then the wife died. So now they're trying to find out how they go about and what should they do.
Okay, here we go. This calls for an attorney. Where do you live, or where does she live?
She lives in Dade County.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. You left your name and number with Pastor Tom when you called. We'll give this to our attorney. He will call you and try to help you. And probably refer somebody down in Dade County to help you, because Vince, am I missing?
I don't know that Greg would be able to help down there.
But he might know somebody.
He might
that
know
he can,
somebody to refer.
I mean, for sure that if mom died and she left the house and the kids are entitled to the house, but if there's no will.
If there's no will, then you then still probate has, and you still have to file.
You still have to file and go through these things. Which is not abnormal. None of this stuff is out of the ordinary.
It just takes time.
It just takes time.
And there's some fees involved.
Yeah, nobody works for free. We all know that. Except right. Except accountants, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Do you have any idea about how much the fees might cost?
We have an idea, but I think the statutory rate in Florida is 3%, I believe. But it's not... There's a limit as to how, you know, three. It's a graduated scale.
So let's say the house is worth $200,000. The key thing is this: if the house has to go through probate, the attorney, most all attorneys will talk without charging a fee, and then come up with a plan and say, okay, here's the fee, and here's how I'll get paid. Some attorneys will say, okay, fine, my fee is going to be $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000, because it might take 6 months to a year. And that might be the least it'll be, and the most it'll be is $10,000 based on hours, or pick a number, and they will wait to get paid the whole amount of money. It's all a situation of, no matter what you do, you're going to have to talk to an attorney. So what I'm going to do, again, I'll have Greg Fasula, our attorney who's not here today, give you a call, and maybe he can advise you on somebody to talk to, or she, down in Dade County.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you for calling. It's not an easy one, you know?
No. Like, you know, and it varies too. Not all attorneys get the statutory right.
I know.
And the bigger the estate, the smaller.
You know,
the
if the house is worth $200,000,
it might be $6,000 fee to.
Yeah, and you know, and that's probably. But if the attorney says, "Okay, fine, I'll take $1,000 up front, and the rest I'll take when the house is sold,"
If this were all discussed ahead of time, this all could be avoided.
Oh boy!
Yes, you can have addressed it in a will. You could have addressed it in the deed.
Right.
The key was this: if this had been done ahead of time, this probably could have been settled within months or weeks after Mom died. If it's been in a trust, it would settle almost immediately. Yeah,
there's no time like the present to discuss these kind of situations.
Well, people make mistakes. You know, look at Joe Robbie. Remember, he used to own the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
An attorney died with no will, no trust.
Well, just recently, I heard. You know, the Queen of Soul.
Yeah, Aretha Franklin.
No will. Who would believe that?
Well, you know, it's called We're Never Going to Die, right?
She's worth, it's reported she's worth $80 million.
Can you imagine how many people they think, well, gee, if I do this, it means
this has to go through probate. How much will that cost?
So,
and besides that, you have an estate tax. Estate tax could be as high as $30 million.
Maybe long higher.
It's 40% estate tax.
Yeah, but you get a $5.5 million deduction.
Well, you get a 10. She gets an $11 million. So take the 80, take 11.
How does she get 11?
Because of the new tax law, Joe.
Is that what it is? 11? Yes. I didn't know that. Thank you for keeping me abreast of things.
Well,
so you're protected now.
I need to make more money.
You don't have to worry anymore, Joe.
I never had to worry.
Before it was $5.4 million.
Back
okay.
When it was $675, I was free.
You were worried to be on $5.4. Now
we have
good.
Less than a minute. Let me make an important point. Never, ever be afraid to talk to a professional.
Amen. You know, the key is almost all professionals will not charge you to consult. You know, everyone in our group never would do
such
a thing.
Well, that's not true, Joe. It depends on who. If you have a two-hour consultation or an hour and a half consultation, I don't know too many people are going to.
Everybody in our group except Vince Rosino. But it depends what the concept is.
Yeah. Nobody,
when they talk to you on the phone to make an appointment,
no.
You're not going
to. I talk to a lot of them on the phone, period.
Yeah.
They call me. They ask me questions. I have no issues with that.
All right. We're winding down. Are we 10 to 15? Wait a minute.
15
You're doing
seconds.
Pretty good. What about, is a five-second card there? You don't have a 5 second.
No, 5 seconds.
You got your fingers out? Were you counting? So I can see.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.
Yep. Until next week, thank you for the callers. And hey, we're here to help you. Remember that. Thank you. Until next week.
God bless you all.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.
Reconciliation and peace. and let us be a holy nation where pride and prejudice